way you want them.
Radio, TV, online, streaming live, podcast, or on your smartphone.
Sportsnet 960 has all your sports all the time. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
And good morning. Up and rolling on a Thursday, the 4th of July. So happy 4th of July. Is it Independence Day? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, it is Independence Day. I actually forgot about it. USA! USA! You know what'd be happy? Newest flag.
A couple of hundred years ago, a bunch of rowdy radicals charged out of some Boston bars, went down to the dock, and dumped the King's Tea into the salty sea.
That is the story of Independence Day.
Is it really?
Yeah, you know what's going to be happy is TJ Gagliardi.
Greasy
big day for him. Big day for him.
Got a pocket full of dough. Got a new Flames jersey on.
You think, and I know it's the day before free agent day, but you think the entire Flames front office just takes the day off? It's a big day in there. Hey, Uncle Sam.
You're coming out swinging today. Hey?
Uncle Sam. Red, white, and blue.
Yeah. Anybody see Weisbrot?
Connie and Weisbrot.
Where's Weisbrot?
Holding the sparklers in the...
No. Somewhere like Ron Sutter's just walking around the office. There's like all the lights are off. Nothing
just,
going on.
Just fireworks everywhere. Everyone's eating apple pie.
So what you're saying is that there's a lot of Americans that work within the front office of the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Ken King, his arms folded, just waiting for them to finish doing whatever they're doing.
Big day.
If we could get down to it. Yes. So it's the 4th of July for the Americans. And I know that we do have a lot of Americans that live up here. And there's even a few that listen, which might surprise you. But so happy 4th. Tomorrow, of course, Free Agent Frenzy. And that is going to be a big focus of the show today, league-wide. And it goes without saying what's happening here in our city. The question is, who are the Flames going after? Who will they, you know, who do they, because you start with your list. Okay, let's make phone calls to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm sure you talk to everybody, but then in the realistic fashion, it's like, okay, well, we placed the call, but as expected, he's going to go to the East, or he's not interested in this, or whatever.
Right. They might love to have Danny Briere. He's not coming here.
Nah, not coming. So, here's the thing. Who do they get? Who do they want? And part B to the equation, should they want anybody? Where this team is at, where are they going, what are they doing, what's the plan, are they best served adding some pieces, just go out and almost less what are you as a player and more who are you as a human being, how can you contribute to what we're doing, and let's save our dough for next UFA. We got to get over the floor and we got to spend, and they'll have no problem spending money and all of that. But we do not want to be a cap team. We still want to be a nice little landing spot should teams need as we get through this season. And what about next year's UFA crop? As we get closer to more of our players maybe starting to not even come into their prime, but being legit NHLers.
I will tell you one thing, and I expect it. You know, if you believe that the Flames are on this mature rebuilding path, and hey, we didn't trade our picks at the draft, you know, we're taking kids, there might be a guy or two out there that is not the big sexy free agent that maybe they add, maybe they see some upside, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Calgary Flames were very, very quiet tomorrow. I don't think that would surprise a lot of people. It would surprise me to a bigger extent if we see a year like we did last year in which they were very active and gave pretty good dough to Dennis Wiedemann and Yuri Hudler, who worked out to varying degrees. I think we talk about it all the time. I like both those guys. I thought both were pretty good, Wiedemann especially. He certainly came in to do what you brought him in to do, but it still doesn't really fit what's going on here.
No, it certainly doesn't, and it's to their fault, all right, that they were slow on the uptake and the rebuild and all of this. I think if they had a chance to wind back the clock, they would. Would they have signed both those guys? I doubt it. Maybe why? I don't know. What did Hudler do? What did Weidman do? They did exactly what they're going to do. When you look at their career numbers, and if you prorate what they did over 48, over 82, that's about
sure.
what
yeah.
they do.
Yeah, you were looking at 20 and 45 from Hudler, and you were looking at 40 points from Weidman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
40-point defenseman, mate, you know, hey, a little more power play, a better power play in this town, and maybe you're creeping close to 50, which is pretty good for any defenseman in the NHL, and Hudler did what he did.
Sure.
But what are you... Where are you going? And, I mean, I guess we could look historically at what teams that have gone through a rebuild have done, but I don't know if that's necessarily a recipe that works either. I would think that depending on what... To me, here's the thing. You have identified the rebuild. That's one thing. I'm more about what kind of a guy is it going to be that's going to be a Calgary Flame? We need personality. We need leadership. We need the identity. That's, to me, what you look for tomorrow.
Right.
Not about can you score me 30.
Yep. And more than dollars and cents, too.
Yeah. I think Shane O'Brien's a good guy. I think he's going to be a good Flame. Not that he's a veteran, but you know what? I think he's a guy that's going to... I'd be happy with him in my locker room.
Yes.
I don't know David Jones. Everything I've heard has been thumbs up. I'd be happy with him in my locker room. We like TJ Gagliardi. I don't know Corbin Knight. But I think that this is, for so long, this has been a team, there's been the Iggy camp and the Regier camp, and then that went away, and then there was the Iggy camp.
And the Tongay camp right along with that.
You know, and, yeah. and so it was Iggy and Tongay versus everybody, you know, the defensive side. You've got to figure it out. You've got to try and find someone, some way to get that group together. And we've said it before, and I've kind of asked the question, almost rhetorically speaking. Is Curtis Glenn Cross the face of the franchise? Is it Mark Giordano? It's none of them. It's really none of them. There is no face of this franchise. And that's not a bad thing. And I don't think you go out and sign that tomorrow. But it needs to be by committee. And I don't think there's enough committee members just yet of what it is that you're trying to be.
Could we see a under-the-radar deal for someone that instantly comes in, and like let's say, and I know he re-signed at Pittsburgh, but let's say the Calgary Flames all of a sudden sign Pascal Dupuis. Well, there'd be a lot of people. What are we signing this guy for?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get you know, 12 goals. He's past his prime. We're probably paying him too much money. What's the point? Could we see a guy like that come in that they know, you know what? This guy's going to be terrific for the kids. He's going to be a consummate professional. He's going to be a leader instantaneously. We can put a letter on his jersey. He's won. He's got a little left in the tank. And he comes in and helps the room. Because,
I think,
hey, guess why they moved Alex Tonga? It was for the direct opposite of those reasons.
Yeah, the quicker you can remedy the room, the better, I think. That said, there's still some players out there that I think they go for. And front and center, you're holding it in your hand, the Sun sports page today, full page, full color, of Mason Raymond. There's a lot of people who will tell you this is done, that there's a deal in principle, it's verbal, that it's done, that they'll just announce it tomorrow. That'll be the interesting thing. In the past, remember it was Matthias Olund that signed with the Tampa Bay Lightning leaving Vancouver? And it was like 12 o'clock noon. All right, here we go, free agency, 12:01.
Yep. Free agency is open.
And like 12:01. Matthias Olin has signed with the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's a multi-year deal. In there is a no-trade clause. They have all these little intricacies of the deal worked out. It's like, that took you 60 seconds?
It's tampering. Yeah, that's what that is.
So I like this 48-hour thing.
Me too. And for the NHL, and you know, trade deadline day has become a bit of a dud, right? It's going the way of the dodo a little bit. It's more trade deadline week, and the deals come, you know, sporadically. Tomorrow, July the 5th, not only have you moved it back from July the 1st, but with this 48-hour window, it won't be, okay, you know, for the first 8 hours of free agent day, let's take our time and let's hear the phone calls and the offers. These guys are hearing them already. And come July the 5th, come 10 a.m. our time tomorrow, it'll be decision time for a lot of these guys.
Yeah. So, and of course, we're going to be on the air, as we will be all, it's just what we do. So starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow, we'll continue to keep you up to speed as to what is shaken down. We'll walk through some comments in a little bit from Jay Feaster. He was part of the media availability yesterday as they brought out the newest members of the Calgary Flames. Obviously, Shane O'Brien and Jones and Gagliardi and Corbin Knight. Gave them the new jerseys. Everybody had their availability to talk, and Jay Feaster had some things to say afterwards just about what they covet, what they do want to do, what they don't want to do, all that sort of things we'll have for you coming up, maybe in the next segment. Also, we'll kind of walk through who are the names. It's not the most shiny, sexy crop. There are some guys that are on this side of 30 that are going to be available. And you know, to me, that was always very rare. Remember when Bo Meester was coming up, or Rick Nash, or Ilya Kovalchuk? All those guys were going to be in that 28, 29. There's a few 29-year-old guys now that are more contractually than anything else, and, but are finding UFA status early.
And we heard that whole post-Apex mentality from Jay Feaster. And I guess we will see tomorrow what that definition is. Is it if you're 30... you're done? I mean, Valtteri Filppula's a guy, he's 29, he's right on the cusp. David Clarkson, 30 years old. Mason Raymond, 27. So is he pre-Apex or post-Apex, whatever you want to term it? TJ Gagliardi, 25, right? That was a little different. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of room there.
I still wonder if they're a team, maybe even today, that we might hear of a deal as teams, because now you need to start clearing up cap space. I mean, the Philadelphia Flyers. They buy out Brizgalov, they buy out Briere, and then bam, signed Vinny LeCavalier. Well, okay, and then you sign Mark Streit, so you're kind of right back almost where you started. I mean, the long-term money is...
Even worse.
The long-term money is gone, so I guess that's not so bad in terms of the Brizgalov contract. But you still need to... Teams are still going to need to kind of shuffle around to get a little bit of flexibility, and I wonder if the Flames are still kind of out there looking at potential deals. Because make no mistake, I think that's a lot of what it was... For the San Jose Sharks, I don't think it's that they were done with TJ Gagliardi. Just they had made some signings and they made the trade. Tyler Kennedy comes in. Okay, we can move something out and get a pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I think the St. Louis Blues are an interesting team in that boat as well. Same goes with the Vancouver Canucks. We're going to be flirting with the salary cap, especially if they want to do anything. I totally agree. I think that's what we could be looking at. And I did touch on the Flyers yesterday. And I think we should touch on the Flyers again today, because in the next, and it might not happen tomorrow, but in the next 12 months, going to be some tough decisions in Philly.
We can go there, we can go around the league, and we'll talk a lot about what's happening. Some further names that it looks like you can add to that list as well, as guys were put on waivers yesterday for the purposes of buyout. If you're keeping track at home, Tom Gilbert of the Minnesota Wild, Nashville Predators forward Sergei Kostitsyn. Defenseman from Detroit, Carlo Koliakovo, Keith Ballard out of Vancouver, and Nate Gerby of Buffalo look as though they will, if in fact they do clear, will be bought out by their respective teams. Did you expect there to be as many buyouts as there are? I knew that there would be a few. There's a few more guys being bought out than I thought. I didn't know that Detroit would need to buy out Carlo Koliakovo. I didn't know that Minnesota would be buying out, Nate Gerby would be bought out. I guess Jeff Schultz in Washington. I just didn't see these guys as buyouts necessarily.
Yeah, it's new territory, isn't it? And I mean, we look at it in the real life dollars and cents. I mean, hey, boy, you're flushing money down the toilet. And for these teams, hey, with the cap going down, I suppose it's a lesson that cap room and cap relief is just worth its weight in gold. And if a guy doesn't fit in, they're more than willing to do it. And the only thing stopping them is if it's an organizational mandate, as it appears to be here, that we're just not going down that road.
Here, you mean?
Yes.
I don't even know who you'd buy out.
Yeah, and I mean, not that there's... Hey, listen, if Babchuk had a year left on his deal, maybe they'd be buying him out and using the compliance. But he doesn't, and that was clearly the worst deal.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Corey Sarge just wasn't great. I mean, there's been a few, and everyone can point to the deal that Daryl Sutter gave to Matt Stajan. Well, it's almost gone.
I don't
think it's that they're above that they look down on teams like, oh...
But it is bad business, though, right? And you know what? It is embarrassing for general managers. If you have to buy out a guy, and that goes for everybody. When Brian Burke bought out Todd Bertuzzi in Anaheim, and when you have to buy out a player, in a lot of ways, it's admitting a mistake. And there's a lot of GMs in this league that don't want to do that.
The only one, you know, I remember when Mark Parrish was bought out in Minnesota. And I think it was Risebrough at the time who said, you know what? It was unfair to him, and it was unfair to us because Mark came in and he didn't play very well. But it was unfair to him because we gave him a deal because of who we thought he was, and we were wrong about him, and he couldn't do it. So there was plenty of blame to go around.
Yeah.
I don't know if they all necessarily fall into that category. I mean, bad business. What's the impact on business if you could do it? You know what I mean? If are the Flyers going to be in worse shape this year because they bought out two players? It's not good business.
No, but I mean, but any businessman or any owner of a company or whatever got to where they are not by just throwing money down the toilet, right? And yes, Ed Snyder and the Philadelphia Flyers are going to be just fine revenue-wise, but Ed Snyder did not get to be where he is in life by giving away $50 million for nothing.
That's how business works sometimes. Sometimes to make you have to fire people, you have to make tough decisions, you have to make hard cuts when things don't go the way they do. What would be worse business? You know, paying Brizgalov and having him count on your cap, or cutting him loose and paying money that you can afford? I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you had to buy up Brizgalov. I'm not being critical, but it was a bad signing.
So we'll talk about the Flyers. Some targets. I want us over the course of this morning, and I want to hear from you as well. Who do you want the Flames going after? We'll run through some names, and I want to know, who do you need to see? Who do you want to see? Who are you dying to see in Flames colors when camp breaks in September? Free agency starts tomorrow, and we'll trot out some names for you. We'll hear from Jay Feaster. We've got Stephen Brunt coming up, a Western Canadian boy, color voice of the Phoenix Coyotes. Tyson Nash is going to join us. The Arizona Coyotes are still alive right now at 6:20. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Trending now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Scherzer shuts down the Blue Jays. Djokovic and Murray advance to the semis at Wimbledon. And a member of the Canadian curling team got suspended for PED use. They test you in curling? Seriously? It's all trending now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Calgary's number one destination for sports. Now and always. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Thursday, and my cans don't work very well.
Yeah, you got to keep your head tilted at a certain angle.
Where's Jeff?
Careful, they'll be in here in like 2 minutes.
Jeff!
Whenever there's a technical dilemma, technical snafu in studio, it's always a mental battle to either send an email right away to get it corrected or just to suffer through it for 4 hours. Because if you do send the email, then the tech guys and the engineers are right, like standing right behind your ear in like 8 seconds, and you just want them to go away.
Well, it's not the worst thing in the world that when you complain that they do come and try and fix things.
Yeah, but there has to be a happy medium in here.
Usually what I'm guilty of is Jeff or somebody will be around. I'm like, could you fix the thing? It hasn't been working. It's just annoying. It needs to be fixed. Oh, well, did you tell us it was broken? Well, no, but it's broken.
You should be on top. By the way, they should have their hands full fixing the hot stove lounge down at the Dome. Did you see a picture of that yesterday? I tweeted it last night because Leslie had posted it on Twitter.
It almost breaks my heart.
What a disaster. What a disaster.
It looks terrible. It looks awful. I couldn't believe it when I was expecting, it's going to look brutal. The ceiling tiles are hanging down.
Oh.
The walls are all
mud. You know, and I get it. You know, I get it. The flood, it was devastating and all that. I still don't quite understand. Like, it was water. It was murky water. It wasn't a bomb. Like, it looks worse than if you had thrown a hand grenade in that room. It was just water. God.
How are we ever getting back in there?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if you ever get the smell out. Just build the new rink. I don't even want to go back.
I think there's some work to be done before we can do that.
Yeah, just start digging it and pouring
foundation.
Just start
digging a hole. Just dig a hole and start building somewhere.
Yeah. Right. You need a jumbotron. You need seats. You need some more bathrooms. There you go. There's your rink.
There you go.
New rinks for everyone.
Got it figured out. Stephen Brunt coming up tonight. A pair of games in the Canadian Football League as it'll be the BC Lions taking on the Toronto Argonauts. Winnipeg is in Montreal to play the Alouettes. Toronto, Montreal both winning their openers. The Lions and Bombers are 0-1. Max Scherzer.
Cy Young.
13 straight wins. Alex Avila, 3-run shot. Tigers beat the Jays 6-2. 13-0. And, if you were to say there will be somebody on the Detroit staff that's going to be 13-0.
There's a couple of guys you would think would be ahead of him.
So the Jays look to bounce back for their two-game skid. They take on Verlander tonight. It'll be Esmiel Rogers starting for the Jays. The controversy in the game last night, the slide on, who was it? It was Infante?
Omar Infante, yeah. Kobe Rasmus went hard in the second.
He certainly did. He almost missed second.
Yeah, you'll see guys have no intention of it coming anywhere near close to the base. I think it's good hard baseball. I thought that slide was obviously a little dirty.
I don't know why, but
it reminded me of another story.
Yeah, I know. I love baseball for some things. The benches and bullpens clearing, second only to Skipper getting tossed. Skipper getting tossed is my favorite event in all of baseball. Because you know it's coming. It kind of builds and builds and builds. And then once it hits a certain point, it's like, now you want it. Don't just walk back to the dugout. You've come this far. You've kicked up a stink. You may as well get yourself thrown out. When the old Skipper gets the heave-ho, it's my favorite. But I love watching guys trot out from the dugout to get into a benches clearing brawl. And that's what we saw last night, although it wasn't much of a brawl. And it's awesome when it happens twice in a game, when maybe something like last night where there's a dirty slide or a guy gets hit, and then they all come out and they all kind of, sashay around for a little bit. Then they make their way back to the bullpen. Then the next inning, they return the favor and dot the other guy. And then they come back out of the bullpens again. It's just, it's the greatest game going.
Yeah, it's very, very rare you see it escalate to the point of Mexico-Canada in the World Baseball Classic. I just remember your description of...
We all remember that one.
Right. Well, I was. It was Canadians throwing bombs.
Yeah.
Jay Johnson was throwing bombs. You don't see that very often. I mean, earlier this year we saw Carlos Quinton and Zach Greinke, right? But the items where it's, or the moments where it's Nolan Ryan putting Robin Ventura in a headlock and pounding the bejesus out of him are few and far between.
Fighting in baseball.
It's better than NBA fighting. You'll never beat hockey. I've always wondered why there isn't more fighting in football, because you'll see guys mad and a couple big shots, and then they just drop it. It's because, A, the game is probably so physical anyway, and B, they're just exhausted.
Well, and the hockey purists, the ones that want to get fighting out of the game, will tell you, well, this is the greatest sport in the world, the NFL. Well, how come they don't fight? It's a physical sport. They're hitting each other play after play after play, but they don't fight. Right. And if they fight, they get tossed out. Why can't hockey do the same?
I think also with the NFL, there's so much opportunity to get back. You can bite some guy's finger. You can, punch some guy right in the nads under a scrum. I mean, every play you can do something incredibly dirty, right in the canerbals. Maybe? I don't know.
I can only imagine if...
Can you imagine being on the bottom of one of those piles?
If you played football...
Oh,
because you'd be doing your what would your position be?
Cornerback, no question.
Corner.
Dwight Anderson.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Because I would think if if there was ever a chance for other guys, because you'd be
I wouldn't be the kicker.
Yipping and yakking.
That's half the battle.
And then when guys were able to get you into a pile and grab a hold of your junk and just give it a nice little twist, guys would be so happy to get at you. Hey?
I don't know.
Hands up the face mask.
I never played football growing up. We didn't either.
Small towns. Although, why don't we have football? It costs money.
Yeah.
As long as it didn't cost money, we could do it.
Although I always wondered. I mean, growing up in small town Saskatchewan, because you had, you know, some kids that were athletes and played everything. And then you had just a bunch of big, fat, mean farm boys that, you know, herded cows and then came to school.
And picked on you, apparently.
Those big, fat, mean farm boys. They were great guys, but they were going to play hockey, right? They were going to play baseball. They had chores to do. Man, that would have been a pretty good offensive line. Who knows? Maybe the next great NFL Canadian was down in Ben Goff or Ogama and never got the chance to play.
No G-Roy Simon for Saskatchewan this week against the Calgary Stampeders. Won't play. He was acquired from the BC Lions, as we all know. Has yet to play a regular season game. There's only been one, but injured in the preseason, will not go. That should be a doozy between those two teams coming up, both of them 1-0, and an emphatic 1-0 for the Riders after they hung a licking on the Eskimos.
Yeah, they did. And I mean, Saskatchewan was good, but I think it might be a long year in Edmonton. That's the impression. It was so easy. I mean, Calgary laid a pretty good beating on BC, and BC is certainly a better team than Edmonton is. It was just so easy for Saskatchewan in week one. This one's going to be interesting because for whatever reason, ever since the new era, if you will, and hey, I think it started and ended with Henry Burris. Once Henry Burris left, the Calgary Stampeders have had a lot of success over the last two and a half seasons against the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Were you ripping on the fan girl yesterday, or the Sunshine girl?
Yes.
Because there was some stuff in my Twitter feed. I'm like, what is A, people ripping me for having time off, and B, people talking about
you do have
the
a lot of time off. Did you know?
That wasn't even time off. I worked the weekend.
Do you know the draft ended on Sunday? It's like Wednesday, and you're still in New York.
There's nothing more I'd like to do in New York City than sit inside and talk on the phone with you.
Well, thank you.
Throw it a break.
Like, most of the time, NHL draft, you did a great job. It's Sunday, and boom, boom, and here's Emile Poirier and all this.
Yeah.
And most guys come back the next day. It's Wednesday, and you're still in the city.
Well, yes.
Like, there's no draft banners around anymore. Gary Bettman is gone, and you're still there.
Okay, here's the thing. Went on Thursday, travel day. Friday, did the show. Went to the prospects thing. Worked a long day Friday. Saturday, worked, did the show with Steinberg all day. That's a treat. And then Sunday... We were live for like 9 or 10 hours.
Yes.
So Saturday, Sunday, some days in lieu. Monday's a holiday. Tuesday, Wednesday. That was my weekend. Am I not free to do on my time what I wish?
You were in New York for like a week.
Just under.
That's fine. That is fine. But yes.
Anyway, yes, you were ripping.
To answer your question, I was hosting on Tuesday, and you know how it is. We get up at, you know what, 1 in the morning? That's when the day starts. You come in, and there's not a lot in this job or in life to get overly excited about. But one of the good parts in the morning is you sit down, you got your nice coffee, you know, you're in, it's summer, you're feeling good, you flip open the paper, and there's the old Sunshine Girl. I read every day, the Calgary Sun. Some golf talk in there. Nicole Zhang, Calgarian at the U.S. Open, U.S. Women's Open. Oh, Tyler Seguin might be traded. Jay Feaster. There's Bruce Garriock in there. What is going on with the Sunshine Girl today? This is supposed to be one of the good parts of the day. One of the great parts of the day. I get up like at 2 in the morning, get my coffee, come in, get the sports section, and at least there's a pretty face staring back at you in the Sunshine Girl, and it gives you hope. Girls like this exist in our city. They're around, possibly available. And as long as her bio doesn't say enjoys her spending time with her boyfriend, then it's good. What happened today? Is it April Fool's? And I apologize if this poor girl is listening, or if you know her. But Jessie, Sunshine Girl Jessie, loves country music, dubstep, and hanging out by the pool. Just don't jump off the diving board. But our brown-eyed brainiac is particularly proud of her recently acquired Bachelor of Arts with honors. Who says brains and beauty don't mix? Woof.
Jeez. You know, a guy leaves for a couple days.
And what, is there fallout from this?
Who let the dogs out?
It was just our intro music.
It was, it really was, hey? Yeah.
It's just kind of coincidence.
Dubstep. Poor Jessica. I mean, in fairness. Oh boy.
We don't
there's more. Did you go through the profile?
I did not go through the scrolling. No.
Well, look at she's got a cutoff shirt there. A nice big dress. She's playing volleyball.
I think I've made my point. I'm not a monster. We don't have to give it to her again.
Just be nice.
And today it was terrific. Today it was more than made up for it.
Okay. Well, we've
so that's basically what I did while you were gone.
You've insulted people, and
you can't leave me alone for too long.
I can tell. Real nice. What's going to happen if I'm taking a week off coming up?
When?
I think it's next week.
God.
Or the week after. You were away for a week.
How many holidays do you get?
How many have I taken?
Oh yeah, I was away for a week. Yeah, I was at your house. I was evacuated.
What you do on? No, you took a week off. You went. Listen, you went on your baseball trip and took your 2 days. I took my 2 days. You've taken a week. You've taken more holidays than have I.
No, you have a selective memory. You're off like every third week.
It's not accurate. 6:39. We'll come back with the news of the day, the flash, and we'll hear some clips and some audio from Jay Feaster. We are one day away from free agent frenzy in the National Hockey League. Sports at 960, The Fan.
Trending now on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Scherzer shuts down the Blue Jays. Djokovic and Murray advance to the semis at Wimbledon. And a member of the Canadian curling team got suspended for PED use. They test you in curling? Seriously? It's all trending now on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Any way you want them. Radio, TV, online, streaming live, podcast, or on your smartphone. Sportsnet 960 has all your sports all the time. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
6:44 Thursday morning. Did you see the new poster, the 2013 Calgary Stampede poster?
I did not. Where?
It's television, news, online, newspapers.
Well, maybe I have then.
Every year they have, the poster,
yes.
Right?
Right.
Well, where's your paper? You have the sports page.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not in the sports page. Anyway, it is very... It's the heavy horse. Just kind of a neat kind of a shot. You're not going to find it in there.
All right.
But I wondered if it was going to be a hell or high water type of a thing. I would go, pick either one of them. But it is one of the rites of passage every year in the Stampede. What's the poster going to be? And I wondered if there was going to be some kind of a thing about the flood or whatever, but in a weird way, it, as they say, it speaks to the strength of the people in our region and what people have gone through, the heavy horse and what it's meant over the years, and kind of a neat one. So at some point during the course of your day, I would recommend you go check that out. I thought it was a pretty cool one when I saw that. Stampede is coming your way. We're going to be a part of it once again with our rodeo coverage. From the 5th to the 14th, right in the middle of the Stampede excitement, giving you the highlights and the broadcast. Tune in every day for the live show from the grounds from 1 till 4 p.m. It is brought to you by Zytec Building Systems, your complete structural specialists at ZytecTruss.com. Zytec Building Systems, bringing you the rodeo once again this year on Sports at 960 The Fan. So that is coming up. Have you been anywhere? Because I've been, again, I've been out of town, not looking to rub it in or anything, but have you been around that area? I have not been near the Stampede grounds, obviously, in about 10 days or so.
Yeah, yeah, I have been, and I live, I mean, I can see it from where I live, and it's they've done an incredible job, and obviously the entire concert series did get canceled from the Dome. I mean, there's only certain things you can do, but in a lot of ways, the downtown area, you know, the Stampede ground as they're putting up the Midway, and it's almost like in a lot of ways it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is impressive. It speaks to the hard work. It speaks to the dedication of getting it ready. And I know there is a sentiment out there, and you've heard it from some people that, you know, we're so focused on the Stampede, this big, you know, yearly party. Shouldn't resources be elsewhere? But it's such an important for so many reasons. Right, not only mentally but economically, we all know, you know, it's what Calgary is known for, and they have it almost all ready to go. It's been an impressive turnaround.
That said, I know just reading some things online that the town of High River still needs support, still needs help, still needs aid, and all of that, as they are in really rough shape.
They're just getting back in. I mean, a lot of people.
And I know we talk to a lot of guys on this radio station. It's the majority of who we talk to. If you can take a day, if there's a way that you can work it out, even if you're a business and you've got a staff of guys or whatever, and if you can look at today or tomorrow, or maybe there's a day next week with the Stampede, if it's a quiet kind of a time for you with your business, maybe give some thought to taking a van load or a group of them down to High River, because they'll be put to work. And it'll be some labor. Put on your rubber boots and get down there and help these people, because they do need some help. So that's just kind of a personal thing, I guess. I feel bad that I've been away. I would even love for us to get some guys, find a way that we can go down, get some listeners and do something down there to try and help out, because I do get the feeling, and you would feel forgotten about.
Yeah.
If I lived in High River, and I mean, I love that area. My kid, it seemed like every Sunday this winter was playing in High River at the Snodgrass, and we'd go there. I got friends that live there. So if you can find a way to do it, do it. That's just, it kind of goes without saying, but don't forget about High River. Don't forget about those areas as we get into Stampede Week. Free agency starts tomorrow. Our free agent frenzy will start bright and early and will run right through the course of the day. It's brought to you by Peter Hughes Landscape. After 40 years of growth, Peter Hughes has established himself within the Calgary landscape industry as an honest and reputable landscape maintenance and construction company. PeterHughesLandscape.ca is where you can find them online. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll hear from Jay Feaster. We'll also share our thoughts as to not who we think, but who so much as who we would maybe go after if we were running the Flames. Do you go big? Do you look at somebody like David Clarkson and say, yeah, he's expensive, he's big dough, but we've got cap space and we can spend it and we've got the money and he epitomizes everything we want. He could be our future captain. That's the guy we want. Or do you look at it another way and say, no, you don't spend anything this year. You're in a rebuild. What are you spending money on free agency? Don't do it now. Bring in young, maybe a little bit unproven. If you're going to take a shot at a youngster who's maybe been given up on, Jonathan Blum, defenseman of the Nashville Predators. What's he, 22, 24?
Yeah, former first-round pick or first-round pick.
Yeah, former first-rounder. Give him a shot. Don't go signing the 30, 31-year-old. Sign the 24-year-old or the guys that are being bought out. So we'll get into that as we continue along this morning. And we'll hear from Jay Feaster as well. Other names on waivers for the purposes of buyouts, we believe, this morning at about 10 o'clock. Tom Gilbert from the Minnesota Wild. The Predators placing Sergei Kostitsyn on waivers as well. Detroit, Carlo Koliakovo. Vancouver's Keith Ballard and Vancouver forward Nate Gerby. Any surprises?
Buffalo Sabres forward Nate Gerby.
What did I say?
Vancouver.
Sorry. Vancouver, D-man, Ballard, Buffalo right. forward Nate Gerby. You like Gerby. I like Gerby. But it's a little guy.
I've put it this way. I've liked Gerby in the past. Right? I think you have to succeed at that size at this level. you know, you have to do some things well. And, you know, coming out of the States and coming up, and he did some things well with Buffalo. But the Sabres don't exactly give you the impression that it's been a breeding ground for success the last few years. Right, Ville Leino didn't seem to work out there. You know, obviously Nate Gerby really fell off the last couple of seasons. Tyler Myers has struggled. Ryan Miller has struggled. I don't know what it is in the water, or if it was the expectations or whatever. But Nate Gerby is an interesting case to see where he could land. A guy that size, you know, with a little bit of skill, and for Buffalo, that was a small team anyway. I mean, you know, they did not, you know, re-sign Derek Roy, right? They dealt him. Tyler Ennis is going to be the guy that they're not going to move. And you can't have too many of the same guys or that stature. I don't know about Nate Gerby. And it, certainly if I'm Calgary, he's not one of the guys that I'm hot and heavy for today.
We had a little bit of a Twitter thing when the whole Sagan thing broke. And obviously you're here in Calgary. It's like, okay, well, why? If he's available, you go for him. If he's available, well, what are you going to do to get him? And I was just sitting around the one day, and I kind of took a life, I guess, a life of itself. But I think I made it pretty clear that we were just spitballing and throwing some things out. What if you did this and this and this? Would it be in that territory? And it kind of morphed from a what do you need to give up to get Sagan kind of a conversation, and more into a where are the Flames, or more so, where is John Gaudreau with the Calgary Flames?
Right.
I don't know I don't think we discussed it because it was kind of weird over the course of the weekend. We didn't have shows and that, but I feel like it's an important time right now for the Flames and John Gaudreau. We've talked about it with Rhett, and Rhett was kind of, I mean, he was exaggerating to make a point, I think. But I do have a level of concern about whether or not John Gaudreau will ever play here based on his hesitancy to turn pro. He's really done all there is to do where he's at. I know he's, I mean, fresh, all of this. He's got year eligibility and all that left. But he's been up for the Hobie Baker. I guess you could win the Hobie, but he's been to a Frozen Four. He's won a Frozen Four. He's won an Olympic, a World Junior gold medal. Been nominated for a Hobie Baker. He's one of the best young players in the country. But as a smaller guy, you need that next challenge.
Yeah, and nine times out of ten, it's just kind of academic what happens. It's you get offered the deal, and you're right. Next challenge, here's some money in my bank account. Let's get to it. I want to be a National Hockey Leaguer sooner rather than later. Heck, half the kids drafted this past year, especially in the first round, will tell you in interviews, my goal this season is to not be sent down. Make them keep me. You know why? Because you want show money, you want show travel, you want show games, you want to play in front of big crowds. That's the dream. That's why you play. So you're right. I can understand why the team would be worried, why fans are worried, and why you and I would be a concerned. Why? Why not sign? Why go back?
I mean, here's the thing. Does the fact now his brother is going to play with him, is there a sentimental attachment there? That's what we're led to believe it is. His brother and he are going to get a chance to play at Boston College.
Boy, but doesn't it seem like, I'm sure that's important, right? And family is important.
Sure.
But, hey, you know, I'm not giving up a raise or a new show or a career so I can, you know, go hang out with my brother.
If he, see, and the thing of it is, too, you want to get, now you're not going to get him signed throughout the course of this year. So you get to next offseason, which will be the 2014 year. He's got till 2015. I think if he goes into that final year of his eligibility, and you're basically, well, I'm in the final year now. What am I signing now for when I could become a free agent? And not only am I probably going to get more dough, well, you know what? The Flames, if it came down to it, the Flames would probably max the dough.
Sure. They'd max him.
Right? They'd max the dough regardless of whether he's a first-round pick or whatever. But you get to pick wherever you want to go. Like, wherever you want to go, you're not hamstrung. And if you look at it and say, well, I could sign now for the max, or I could wait for a year and get the max wherever I wanted, potentially. Now, maybe we're overstating who John Gaudreau is, but I get the feeling there's going to be some suitors. There were for a lot of guys who looked like they were less
yes.
prospects yeah. than maybe yeah, where Gaudreau is.
There's certainly a question if he plays the next level, and I think we all love to sit here and say, boy, you can sure see some Patrick Kane in him, and you can to a degree, but you can also, and I've made this comparison because, you know, they even played at the same school and had the same numbers, pretty close. You could say there's a lot of Nate Gerby in him, and, you know, Nate Gerby, who, I mean, Gaudreau might be a little bigger, but not by much. Nate Gerby's finding himself on unconditional waivers today because it's been tough for him to play at that level.
Yeah.
So there's certainly a question. And you know what? For Gaudreau, too, he could really want to play for the Flames in a year's time. But he also just afforded him the luxury of seeing, we'll see where the team's at.
I know. Which is why, for me, it gets scary. I shouldn't even say scary. It becomes a point of issue. Whereas if he's going to go into his final year, I don't think you can say, okay, well, we'll hopefully get you signed at the end of this year, right before you go to free agency. I think if it goes one more year, you have no choice but to trade him.
Put it this way. If a deal comes up that knocks the socks off the Calgary Flames for a player they covet, and maybe Tyler Seguin is in that category, there's some guys you just don't want to give up. You don't want to give up Brody. You don't want to give up Berchi. You're not giving up Sean Monahan now. You know, he's one of your guys. But Johnny Gaudreau, we'll talk. Because his value's never been higher, and there's a couple of question marks if he'll play and if he'll even sign. So to answer your question there, is Johnny Gaudreau touchable? He should be.
Don't disagree one iota, which is why, and again, we just, okay, well, who do you trade? You trade the first-round pick, trade Gaudreau because he's playing in Boston College, and geographically, what else? Lee Stempniak. Well, he's a Massachusetts guy. He can be close to home. I think, or is he New Hampshire? Something like that. That's all that was. And apparently somebody picked it up on Twitter and said it was a rumor or it was happening or something.
That's what happens.
Twitter's the best, except when it's the worst, which is more often than not, it seems. We're right in front of 7 o'clock. We'll do a little bit of little Jay Feaster and our thoughts on free agency when we come back. It
also,
hits tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Yes.
10 a.m. Speaking of Twitter, I've just been sent a tweet by the Calgary Stampede, and we are getting...
breakfast?
Yes. Hooray. Throw it a break.
Sportsnet 960 FM.